podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, welcome, church. Welcome back. Good to be with you all today and worship Jesus together. We have been in a series called Messy. It's a series of talks about being in the mess, being in the mess of the world, the mess of ourselves. And actually, last week, Justin brought the message, and he talked about a mess inside of us, a lie, lying, and just taking that as bending the truth and making it for our own gain. This week, we're actually going to be jumping right back in and continuing to address the mess that is inside of us. So I'm going to ask you a question. This is kind of the question for today's message. It's, what do you need? I'm going to say it again. What do you need? Do you need a job? A vacation? Sounds kind of nice. Do you need a bill paid? A friend? Maybe you just need a conversation with somebody this week. Maybe you're just thinking, I just need a little bit less news. Whatever news that is that you're listening to. Maybe you just need a good night's sleep, or maybe you're looking at me right now and you're like, you know what, those are all good, but what I really need is just a little less stress. That would be fantastic. That's what I really need. Well, I want to share with you, I don't know if you guys know this about me, I went to a little school around here. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Rockford. And I was a rower there. They make the really long boats in the Olympics. They race there. I used to have to explain that a lot more because when I started, it was like the third or fourth year into rowing, and it was one of the only schools around here. People didn't know what that was. But anyways, I did that in high school. And my freshman year, my first year, I was given an opportunity to go to a race. It's called the Midwest Regional Regatta. Midwest meaning Midwest states. So it was like five or six states. We were going down to, I think it was Ohio. I don't remember that great. My memory's fading. That's not good, right? But anyways, we were going to go down there, and I was invited to be in this boat and to go with them based on our season and how we were doing. So I was super excited. I'm like, yes, I get to do this thing as a freshman. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. So I go home, and I'm excited to tell my mom. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to Ohio. And she's like, really? When are you doing that? So I tell her the dates, and I'm telling her what it's for, and she's like, sorry, Mike, that's not going to work. We've got other things that are going on. And I just felt it drop into my stomach. I mean, I was so geeked and so excited to be able to be a part of this team and to go to something exciting and to race and to be known for that. And then I had to go back and tell my coaches as well. And I'm not a huge person to shed a lot of tears, but I mean, between telling my coaches and just time at home, finding out bad news that I wasn't going to be able to go, I shed quite a few tears. I was pretty shaken and rattled by this. And it continued with me for a little bit of time. I mean, through the rest of that season, that wasn't the last race we did, but for the rest of the season and then into the summer as we did a little bit more training, I was still pretty rattled by that I couldn't go and be a part of that, which had effects on the rest of the season for me. And it took me a long time to see why. And I had already started to take on rowing as part of my identity. Now, another thing that I'll share with you real quick about me, so much so that my freshman year, within like the first or second day of being on the team, there was only like 20 guys on the team at that time, and there were four Mikes. So we were looking for nicknames, and they're like, hey, I'm going to call you Puddle. And I was like, whatever. And 30 minutes later, the whole team was calling me Puddle. And that name has stuck with me even till today, where I have people that don't know me as Mike, Pastor Mike, or anything else. They just know me as Puddle. So if you've ever called my phone, that's why it says that, because they won't know who they're calling. But that's my point, is I had taken it on as so much of an identity that it has stuck with me for a long time. And I didn't even realize it, that was why it was shaking me so much. What I thought I needed was this identity in rowing. So I want to do something a little bit different in the sermon. I'm going to pause in a second here. I'm going to have some silence in the room. Some of you may feel uncomfortable with that. But the point is, I want to ask you this question, because sometimes I think we need to slow down just a minute to be able to think about what we really need. So I don't know if you're a writer, if you're a note taker on your phone, but if you need to pull out your phone right now and just type it in there, that's the nice thing about being socially distanced. People can't see your phone from there. But you can do that for a second. I would like you to do that at some point in the sermon, or at least jot it down mentally. What is it that you need? What is it that you need? Especially if you are one that is a hard driver, always going, getting stuff done. What is it that you need? What do you need? That's the question I want to answer today. So I'm going to... we're going to jump into the Bible here in a second. I'm going to just kind of introduce you to a person that's recorded in the Bible. His name is Peter. He is one of the followers of Jesus, one of the disciples of Jesus. Now, he's the oldest of the disciples. He's outspoken. And before he even knew Jesus, he was actually a fisherman. Any fishermen in the room? Any people that like to fish? Here we go. We got a few of us. Yep. Don't be shy. I like to fish too. I don't know if you guys know this. We have a river back here. Supposedly pretty good for fishing at certain times of the year. Anyways. But he was a fisherman, loved to fish, was good at it. This is his business. And he was known for fishing. He's the kind of guy that goes to work, works real hard, and does his hard work, and then comes home afterwards bearing that and carrying that. But he decided to leave that and to follow Jesus. Now, for 3 years, he did nothing but that, but following Jesus, walking alongside Jesus, and learning from him. Huge change, and he wasn't perfect, but in his imperfection, he was invited into the inner circle with Jesus. So there was hundreds of people that were following Jesus one point, and then he narrowed that down to a group of 12 that were going to be his closest, and then narrowed that group down to a group of 3 that were his closest, and Peter was a part of that inner circle. He got to see things being alongside Jesus that many of us would love to see. We get to see part of it, but I'm sure he got to see even more. But he saw things like the transfiguration. He saw people getting healed from broken bodies and sickness. He got to see 5,000 people get fed by 3 loaves and 2 fish, and then another few thousand people not long after the same way. He got to see so many of these things, these miracles that Jesus was doing alongside of just getting to know Jesus as a friend and as his Lord and Savior. But in the moment Jesus needed Peter the most, they're in the garden, and Jesus is waiting to be arrested. He's waiting to be arrested, and then he's going to be killed. He's waiting for that, and so he's talking to God. He's pouring out his heart and his mind and having a conversation with God, and he asks his disciples to stay and to watch, and Peter can't do it. He falls asleep. He falls asleep a number of times, and even more, once Jesus is arrested, he denies knowing Jesus. He denies even being his friend 3 times. I mean, all of that time, and he still ends up that way. We're going to pick up the story here in John 21. So if you want to flip open your Bible to that, to John 21. Jesus has now predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection. He has appeared to the disciples and literally hundreds of people, but Peter is still unsure of what he needs. So we're going to start off reading the first 3 verses here. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So this is the whole crew minus minus Judas. Peter, again, he's the oldest outspoken leader, and he goes, I'm out. I'm going fishing. Now, I'm not sure what prompted this or what was going on in his mind, but I can imagine, I wonder if there was a lot going on in his mind after everything that we just talked about. His world has been rocked. I mean, essentially, he met Jesus, followed Jesus, gave up everything for Jesus. I mean, he gave up his fishing business, his nets, his boats. It was probably a family business with his brother Andrew. He gave all that up, and then he goes and he follows Jesus. But Jesus doesn't turn out who he and a lot of other people thought he would be. He doesn't overthrow Rome, and he doesn't get to be Jesus' VP, right? I wonder if Peter was having lots of questions, thinking, what's my job now? What am I going to do now? What's my career now? My identity was in fishing, it was in Jesus, and now what is it? My friends, I mean, are these friends still going to be here? Have you guys ever left a career and 3 years later started going back to the same career? I mean, he's going through it right now. What do you do when you have a lot on your mind? You go fishing? There's a study back in 2014 from the University of Virginia. They did a study on people and how uncomfortable it is for people to sit alone with their thoughts. So essentially what happened is they did the study twice because they wanted to make sure it was good. So they did it with some college students, and then they had some older adults that came and did the same thing, same results. So what they said is, they're like, okay, I want you to go sit in this room for 10 minutes. And you can't do anything. No phone, no falling asleep. You don't have any paper. You just have to sit there. And you can entertain yourself by just sitting there. Whatever you're going to do for that 10 minutes. And the only way out of this, here's the catch, the only way out of this is to shock yourself. Yeah, I don't know who came up with this. I mean, who was sitting in a room going, hey, I got a good idea. You know what would be a good study? To shock people. Actually, let's have them shock themselves. And I don't know where that came from, but it was a crazy idea. But he said, hey, you know what? That's the deal. If you want to be done with this before 10 minutes, you're like, I can't handle it, I'm out. You got to shock yourself to get out of it. Otherwise, at 10 minutes, you're good to go. The crazier part about this is everybody was given the shock ahead of time, so they knew what it would feel like. And they were all like, nope, not going to shock myself. I will pay you to not have that happen again. 6 minutes in, 70% shocked themselves. It's crazy. Like, I would think the same thing. I'm like, I'm not going to shock myself. Are you kidding me? But that's how uncomfortable our culture is with sitting alone with our own thoughts. I mean, if you think about it yourself, like, how long does it take for us to take out our phones? I mean, if you're at a red light and you felt the phone buzz at some point, and you're like, I mean, how quick do you look at that? If you're going to the bathroom, I mean, how quick are you? I'm bored sitting on the toilet. I mean, how quickly do we go to those things? Like, it's so fast, it's right now. We do that. And I think that's why the whole group says, all right, we're going with you. I'm not sitting here with my thoughts. But they caught nothing. Let's go on to these next verses. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Kind of a strange conversation. They don't realize who it is calling to them from the shore. Hey, have you caught any fish? I mean, it kind of throws me back to another movie need a little wind here. And they respond, no. And I wonder what kind of a no that was, right? Hey, have you caught any fish? No. I mean, did they get mad about it? No. Leave me alone. I know how to do my job. Have you ever felt like that? Like, how many of you love it when somebody tells you how to do your job? I mean, you were trained for this. You have time in this. Even if you have been on the job for only 6 months, you still have time. And then we don't like it, right? Like, we don't like that when somebody else comes along and tries to tell us what to do, especially if it's not going good, right? But essentially, Jesus says that you're doing your job wrong. Throw your nets on the other side. And it works. And they can't even pull in the net because of so many fish. And then John gets it. He goes, newsflash, that's Jesus. It's the Lord. And Peter jumps in the water and starts swimming. I mean, that's awesome. Like he jumps in and goes for it. You didn't get to read that part, so let's read that real quick. Then I'm going to jump into 7. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. He jumps out and swims the 100 yards. I want to jump back. There's another story in Luke 5. This is the first time, this is the time when the disciples get called to Jesus. I'm just going to tell you it, and then I'll show you the verses here. So they are out fishing again, and it's another long night of no fish. Again, I'm sensing a trend here. Peter has a different response to it, because Jesus does the same thing. He tells them to go out, to drop your nets down in the middle of the day, and they haul in this miraculous catch of fish. And this is Peter's response. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd just taken. I mean, what changed here? You get, go away from me, and the next verses say that he was even afraid, to the Michael Phelps butterfly 100-yard swim to Jesus as fast as he can. I mean, what changed in Peter? It was this 3 years of nothing but learning, right? 3 years with Jesus. 3 years taught him. He forgot, but it taught him what he needs. He's still sinful, and you could argue more, right? He denied Jesus. He denied him a bunch of times. But what you really need in the mess is knowing Jesus and knowing how this real change happens. Real change is not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. I mean, Jesus asked that question, right? What are you doing? Fishing? Any fish? No, here's a tip. Go deeper. Other side. 3 feet. It's like Jesus is asking him, what are you doing here again? Fishing after all you've seen? I mean, you spent 3 years with me and you're going back to fishing? Peter goes back to what he knows. And I wonder if he's clinging to it. If fishing, his life, if that's what he's clinging to. And I was going to share another story here, but instead, I think sometimes it's important just to let the scripture breathe. Sometimes I think I say too much and I just want to read the Bible, because it's really the truth of the Bible that is what I want us to hear. And I want to hear God's voice. And so I encourage us, and I encourage you later to read through this again, just to see what God speaks to you through this. Because we can see it right in Peter's life. He's trying to keep the old from falling apart. And we do that, right? We do that a lot. We don't want the old to fall apart. And so we work hard to try and keep it a certain way. Tomorrow is only truly a better day if the old self falls away, sin is less enticing, real change happens. I'm not saying sin is gone. I'm saying sin is less enticing and real change can happen. I'm going to flip to a verse, John 3:30. This is about John the Baptist. This is a man who is going out ahead of Jesus, telling people about him. And what happens is John the Baptist has his disciples. He's baptizing people like crazy. And then his followers come up to him. John the Baptist's followers come up to him and say, "Hey, John, there's another dude. He's baptizing people. And actually, some of our group is starting to go to him." And John does exactly that. He lets the old fall away. And he says something that I think is countercultural then, but I think it's countercultural for us now. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater. I must become less. I mean, who says that now, right? Like, if we look around, that is not a common theme that people push. We don't try and put him above. This is countercultural. I must become less. I mean, I think it's important to ask, what am I propping up on my own, trying so hard to make happen, keep it together, to manage? I mean, I think even in the business world, they talk about, you know, what is the thing that you are trying to make happen, pouring all your energy into, but it is sinking. Well, in the words of the great theologian Elsa, let it go, let it go. And here's why. Peter just swam 100 yards. And let's see what he finds out on shore. 21:9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of 153 fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. This has to be frustrating, right? Peter gets to shore, and what does Jesus have on the grill? Fish. Wait a minute, is Jesus playing with Peter? "Hey, look what I got." Because then Jesus asks him, "Hey, go get some of the fish you just caught. What is this? What is he trying to do with this? I wonder if sometimes the mess of our striving, achieving, driving, and stressing, we forget one really important concept of a life following Jesus. Whatever you're fishing for, Jesus already has. Whatever you're fishing for, Jesus already has. You know what's really odd in the story is you see the small detail, 153 fish. Now, normally numbers in the Bible, they have an extra meaning to them. In this one, it doesn't even add up to 7, right? 1 + 5. Somebody do the math. But it doesn't add up to 7. I know that much. But it is a big number. We don't know exactly why. I'm going to go out on a limb, though. I wonder if Peter had this number in his head. "Hey, if I catch 153 fish, then I'll be a great fisherman. If I have that many fish, I'm good. My identity is secure. I know I can fish." I wonder if what you're looking for, your career, "I just want a job I'll enjoy, a friend, or a relationship, I just want a friend, somebody to go along life together, a spouse, somebody to be there for me." And we fish all night, right? We work, we manage ourselves, we strive and we strive and we strive and we strive, and Jesus has it all. I wonder, I think Peter might have had that number in his heart. I wonder what number is in your mind, if it's a number in the stock market, right? If my portfolio gets to here, I'm good. Maybe it's your 401k, same thing. Or maybe it's an offer you're waiting for. If I get this, maybe it's a vacation. I'm going to throw a number at you, 8 weeks. So a while back, I was in Costa Rica, and I was working alongside of a few different churches, organizations. I was learning alongside of them as well. We were working together teaching people about Jesus. Well, one of the families was hosting me. I was very grateful for that opportunity, but they took me into their home, and I got to stay with them and learn from them and just be a part of their family. Well, one day, one of the younger guys was like, hey, I'm going to take you on a trip. We're going to go to this place. It's called Limon. So we went there, and we met up with some of his other family, and then we hustled down to the beach, and we jumped into this little hotel. It was like a little cabana hotel kind of a thing. And right next door, I kid you not, the best pizza, hands down, anywhere. And I mean, I love pizza. I've been to the Chicago. I've done the deep dish. I've done all the pizza around. I love pizza. If you want good pizza, go to Limon. It's just, I can't tell you exactly where it is, but just keep going down the beach. You'll see it. It's this guy, he's outside, and he's cooking on a wood fire grill. A little Jamaican guy, loved it. It was on point. And I thought, this is it. I'm on the beach. I'm having my favorite pizza with some good friends. Loving it. And then I see two guys walking along, and I start chatting with them. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just we're hiking through Costa Rica. We're 2 weeks in. I was like, oh, 2 weeks in. How much more do you have? 8 weeks. I'm sorry, six more weeks. 6 more weeks of vacation. You have 8 weeks of vacation a year? Yep. I was like, well, where do you get 8 weeks of vacation a year? And they're like, well, we're from Europe. I was like, ah, okay. And for a while, honestly, I was like, I know I'll have made it if I can get that 8 weeks as well. I mean, honestly, when I say it, I could see some of our minds turning like, oh, that would be kind of nice, 8 weeks. Maybe we should move to Europe. It's hard to not jump into that and to get caught in these things thinking that this is where life is. This is what I need. But every day there is an opportunity for far greater. See, what you and I really need in the mess is to hear these words. Come, have breakfast. It's really the answer to what we need. It's a relationship that we need. It's not based on rules or anything you can do. So I want to take you back to the story, and I want you to imagine it for a second. Imagine yourself there. You're Peter. You're coming up to the shore, and there before you, a beach campfire. If you can't picture it, it's on the screen. I don't know if this is the exact picture, but I imagine fish sizzling, get the aroma of fish in the air, and fresh bread toasting. You hungry? You tired from working? Imagine your toes sinking into the warm sand. The splash of the beach. Hear the tide. Probably birds in the air chirping. Just a peaceful moment. This is grace. Come have breakfast. Best words you'll ever read. Come and have breakfast. Come be filled by me. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it, and you cannot work all night to catch it. It's grace. It's not cheap. Jesus had to die for it, right? He went through suffering for it to be able to offer it to you and me. See, Jesus is rarely what we expect him to be, but he is always what we need him to be. Come have breakfast. Come start your day. Fill your day with me. I have what you're looking for, and I want to nourish you. So I have a question for you. Is Jesus a part of your life, or is Jesus your life? What do you need? Maybe you need breakfast. An invitation to spend time with Jesus. And maybe it's been a while, and today he invites you and me to that, into relationship with him, to this breakfast. Would you bow with me? Father God, it is good to be here today. It is good to worship you. I'm so grateful for the time we have together to learn your word, but I'm even more grateful for the minutes we can spend with you, not just here, but every second you call to us. You remind us we are loved, we are valued, we are treasured and precious. Nothing can keep you from loving us and inviting us into relationship with you. And God, I pray for anyone here who just feels distant. Anyone who is fishing for what you already have. You have grace available to all. Let us live into that grace. Not cheap. Cost Jesus' life so that we might have life. God, thank you for that invitation to come and have breakfast. There are those here today waiting for it. Give them the courage to swim to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.